morning, everyone. It is spring now. Had the chance to go with my family. My mom's actually in town for a couple of weeks. I think she's upstairs with Esther and the little ones. Hopefully you'll get a chance to say hi to her after service is over. Had a chance to go to the tidal basin and see some of the cherry blossoms and people flying kites. So that was a blast. Caleb, his current favorite sea animal is the octopus. And so we had an octopus kite that he was flying around. And it was a beautiful day for kite flying because there was a lot of wind. A little chillier than expected, but a lot of wind. It was good. So I hope that everyone's been enjoying the weather. And also just reflecting on the goodness of God. Amen? That's why we're gathered here together, to praise God with song and to worship Him through His Word. So I hope that your hearts, that your minds, as you're here, that they won't be distracted, that they won't lose focus, that they won't fall asleep, but that they'll be keen on what God wants to speak into your life today. Last week we listened in as Peter recounted God's awesome work, acknowledging the Holy Spirit and the amazing salvation that comes by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. The gospel message that Peter shared with Cornelius and his household, it's what continues to be at the center of God's work. So we're shifting now in a way to see this gospel salvation being spread, the missionary work that people are doing, that followers of Christ are doing in the world to spread this gospel, amazing saving gospel message of Jesus Christ, so that many more people will come to know Him and be a part of the body of Christ, to be a part of the family of God. And today we're going to learn about what it means to be faithful, what it means to have faithfulness in life as a believer of Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 30 together. And I hope that we'll see and be encouraged, even in our own lives, how can we be faithful? How can we live faithful lives in our relationship with God? Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 30, and this is the Word of God. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. Now in these days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them named Agabus stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there will be a great famine over all the world. This took place in the days of Claudius. So the disciples determined, everyone according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we again just worship You today. This is a worship service. We're not here just to pay lip service, to open our mouths and say we follow You or even sing that we follow You, but we are here to worship You and with our hearts, with our whole lives, to declare that we are followers of Jesus, that we worship and honor the one true God. So God, I pray that You'd work powerfully through Your word that You have graciously given to us. Remind us that our lives are not our own. Remind us that we have a greater purpose in this world, and that it's for You and Your glory. So may You be glorified today. Keep us alert, for For those of us who are physically tired, I pray that you would, through the power of the Holy Spirit, awaken them. For those who are burdened emotionally, mentally taxed because of a difficult week or even something that maybe they are going through right now, anxiety, nerves, God, in your Spirit, would you give comfort and peace so that we can hear your word today? And be with me as I preach your word. May the Holy Spirit work in me and through me, that you will be magnified, and as a church, we would be encouraged to be faithful to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what does it mean to be faithful? Faithfulness is something that is always in relationship to someone or something. If someone is faithful to their job, it means that they are committed to their work and they go in and do what is asked of them. They take care of the responsibilities that they are committing to. That's being faithful in your work. If someone is a faithful friend, it means that they are someone you can depend on or count on to have your back, that you can trust to be by your side through ups and downs. If you are a faithful husband, it means that you have eyes only for your wife, heart only for your wife. Your love, your affections, your priority in relationship is set on her, your wife, and no other. If someone is a faithful wife, it means the same, that her eyes, her heart are only for her husband, that she chooses to love him each and every day because she is faithful to him. And for those of us who are married, we took vows, right? We exchanged commitments to one another. We actually made promises of faithfulness to one another, to be in relationship to one another, but to be faithful to one another, devoted, committed in love. So being faithful has to do with you in relation to someone or something else. And in today's passage, I believe that God wants us to be challenged and encouraged in our hearts to have a life of faithfulness when it comes to our relationship with God. That we would not be here on a Sunday raising our hands and praising the Lord, saying, I want to follow you, that you are loving, and I'm going to obey, I'm going to trust in you. But then, at the end of service, that we go on our way and we live life like the world. We don't even think about God. We don't read our Bibles. We don't take time to pray. It cannot be like that. We have to learn to be faithful in our relationship with God. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. So in this passage, I see three things that help us to answer this question. How can we be faithful in our relationship with God? The first thing is this: share the gospel. Secondly, be steadfast in purpose. And lastly, give generously. So let's start with this first point, share the gospel. Verses 19 to 21 says this: Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. So we're shifting focus here a little bit now from the account of Peter and Cornelius and that salvation work that happened in Cornelius and his household. And we're actually brought back to earlier in Acts when we saw Stephen, who was literally giving a message from the Lord, being stoned to death and killed. And so because of that, what happened was that believers, Jewish believers, were scattered now around outside of Jerusalem and Judea. And so as followers of Jesus Christ, I think one of the most distinct ways that we can be faithful in our lives, in our relationship with God, is simply this: share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Share the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Jewish Christians had now been scattered to different parts of the world because Stephen had been stoned to death. And yet here we see that they continue to share the message of Jesus Christ with where they have been scattered to. Their relationship with God does not change because they are outside of Jerusalem. Their relationship with God does not change because they are out of Judea. No, that relationship still demands of them encourages them, puts on them this faithfulness to share the gospel message of Jesus. And it's interesting here because we have to think about things also within history, but because look what it says that they were speaking the word to no one except Jews. And so remember what happened with Peter and Cornelius. God made it clear that this message is not just for the Jews, but it's for everyone, for every tribe, every tongue, all the Gentiles. So these Jewish Christians that had been scattered had not heard the news of this happening with Cornelius and Peter yet. And so they were still faithfully in their understanding of what they had to do. They were sharing the message of Jesus with fellow Jews. But then we see here that there were some, right? From Cyprus and Cyrene, who coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists also. So they were sharing the message of Jesus Christ with the Gentiles, those who were not of the Jewish culture or the Israelite people. And so there's Greek-speaking Jewish Christians who did start, even on their own, because they want to be faithful to God, they share the message of Jesus with the Hellenists, the Greek-speaking Gentiles that they were living amidst. Now, when I think about faithfulness to God, you know, I often think about my dad. You know, this past week, on March 22nd, it would have been my father's 70th birthday. Now, many of you already know, but, you know, my father, who was a wonderful dad to me and my brothers, a husband, faithful husband to my mom, who's also here with us today, you know, he was also a faithful pastor, a man of God who preached the message of Jesus literally until he passed away. He had gastric cancer. And I still remember as a teenager when he was so broken down by this cancer, this disease, where literally the deacons and the other leaders had to help him. And they put him on a seat so that he could preach sitting because he didn't have the strength to stand. So he had this faithfulness to God, and it was this relationship that he had. And, you know, cancer, you know, it's a terrible disease. And for all of us here, I bet you that there's someone that we know, whether it's a close friend, a loved one, family member, even, you know, accounts of strangers who have this terrible disease. And cancer has disrupted and impacted so many of our lives, hasn't it? And I started thinking about this because it was this past week that it would have been his birthday. I started thinking about cancer and what it kind of reminds me of in a spiritual sense. Because imagine with me now that someone had discovered the cure for cancer. And all someone had to do was to receive this cure in order to be healed. All they had to do was take it, receive it. Nothing else. Then would you not go and tell everyone that you could about this cure? Every single person who had cancer, would you not take this cure and take it to the masses so that this terrible disease would be done with? This disease that makes the body attack itself to the point where it breaks down, it can no longer function. Would you not take that cure to those in need? And maybe we've heard an analogy like this, but I was just thinking on that as I was preparing and praying for this message that I wanted to give, that God wanted to give to us today. It wouldn't make sense for someone to keep that cure to themselves. It wouldn't make sense for someone to hold on to that cure while this disease, cancer, it's taking so many people's lives, destroying lives. And well, sin is like cancer, but it is infinitely worse. It destroys the soul. It destroys the spiritual life of a person. Sin leads to spiritual death. And by God's grace, He made a way for there to be a cure for sin. And it was Himself. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, Jesus, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal and everlasting life. You see, Jesus died on the cross for that very sin that we all have. Now, not everyone has the physical disease of cancer, but I'm going to tell you right now, according to the Word of God, every single person has the disease of sin. Everyone needs the cure for sin, and God has readily applied it to us, given it to us through Jesus Christ, the Son. And so this gospel message, being faithful to God in our lives, share the gospel. What that means is you're sharing the cure for this sin disease. So have you been faithful as a follower of God? Have you been sharing the gospel freely because you know that every person needs it? Every single person needs this cure, this remedy to the sin problem. The gospel message of Jesus Christ is the one that saves. And so I watched my dad. I think about it more now. I was 17 at the time. And I never believed that my dad would actually pass away because he's a pastor, thousands of people praying for him. He's a faithful man of God. But this disease, it really does. It ate away at him physically. He was 48 when he went to be with the Lord when he passed away. 48. That's not too far off from how old I am now. I think about that too. God, if I only have that many years, how will I live my life? I hope I live it like my dad did. Faithfulness to God. But I mention this because even though I saw this physical disease breaking away at my father's body, his health, I knew and I know right now that through this gospel, this saving gospel, the message of Jesus Christ, who he is, that in his heart he was cured of his sin disease. That in his life he was given eternal life by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And there is no greater thing than to know the hope of that. That's the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That even if our body fails us, even if everything else fails us in this world, God, the hope that he's given us through Christ, will never fail. And so yes, he passed away, but his soul saved by the amazing gospel of Jesus Christ, the work of Jesus in his death and resurrection. It is through God's love, the message of the gospel, that there's spiritual healing. So share the gospel. And look what it says in verse 21, and the hand of the Lord was with them. Look, when you're sharing the gospel, sometimes we think, well, how is it going to come out? Is it the right timing? All these things. But whenever you share the gospel, I promise you, if you're sharing the gospel, the Spirit will be with you. The hand of God is indeed with you. Because look what it says, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. By sharing the gospel message of Jesus Christ, people can be saved and cured from their sin. So will you share the gospel? Let's share the gospel, amen? Let's share the gospel, amen? This is the truth of God. It is the cure for sin that all of us need. And he has readily given it to us, that whoever believes will be saved. What an awesome, awesome, awesome gift. Let's be faithful in life. Let's share the gospel with those around us. Pray for your family and friends and strangers, all those who still, maybe even unbeknownst to them, are living with this spiritual disease. They need Jesus. Let's give them the cure, not by our strength, not by our might, not even by our eloquence, but the simple message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So be faithful in your relationship with God. Find opportunities, make opportunities to share the gospel of Jesus. Second thing is this, be steadfast in purpose. Be steadfast in purpose. Verses 22 through 26, the report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose, right there, with steadfast purpose. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great many people, again, were added to the Lord, so more people became believers of Jesus. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people, and in Antioch the disciples were first called Christians. Now, Barnabas here, who is being talked about in this passage, plays a vital role in the mission work of God. So we know that God has made Paul an apostle, or Saul still here. But Barnabas, who's not an apostle himself, still was an important part, instrumental to the mission work of God, God's message being spread and shared to those around who are outside of Israel. And the name Barnabas itself is a good name. It means son of encouragement. So he's one who was highly thought of in the community of believers because of how he lived his life with faithfulness. Look how he's described. He's a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. So through his life of faithfulness to God, through his life of faithfulness in his relationship with God, people seeing how he lives, they see that there is a different purpose that he is living for. And not only that, but he is saying, let's be steadfast in purpose. What does that mean? It means let's be consistent. Let's be continual. Not just the one-time thing, I believed in Jesus, so now that's it, I'm saved. That's the end of the story. Nothing else that I need to do in my relationship with God. No, but because of your relationship with God, you are steadfast in purpose. Your whole life has changed. Your whole decision-making process has changed. The way you view the world, as we learned in previous messages, has changed. A new perspective that God gives to you. The renewing of your mind that God gives you. The new purpose in your heart, your motive, your intent, all of it has changed, and we see evidence of that, not because Barnabas himself is so great, but because of the purpose that the Holy Spirit, through God, has given to him to preach the message of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And as it says again, many were added to the Lord. I think it's cool to see examples of faithfulness in the Bible. And maybe we have people that we think about when we hear that word faithfulness. You know, I don't want to put my mom on the spot, but faithfulness in prayer. I think my mom has prayed more for me than I have prayed for myself throughout the course of my life. Faithful in prayer, faithful in how you live. Why? Because if you're steadfast in purpose, when you know who your purpose is for, then how can you live life for anything else? If there's this grand purpose that God has given to you, then how can success in this world be what you're living for? How can popularity in this world be the motivating factor of your life? We have a purpose that has been given to us in and through our relationship with God. And so we see Barnabas, he's humble because he has this steadfastness in his purpose. It's about the mission of God. It's about sharing the gospel of Jesus. It isn't about making his own name great. And Barnabas is a pretty cool name, right? I'm pretty sure Barney is like the short for Barnabas, right? I think I'm right on that. And so I don't know if you guys remember the giant dinosaur that used to sing, right? The big purple dinosaur. I mean, some of you guys are like, what are you talking about? You're too young. I don't think they have it out anymore. But he was all about encouraging the kids. Like, and there was a song, I love you, you love me, right? And he would sing that. And so we see him living out his life in a way where he's befriending people. He's showing the love of God. And maybe he might change the lyrics to God loves you, God loves me, right? And we're a happy family. For those of us who are in the Lord, we are a family in Christ by his grace. And so the cool thing that we see here is that as Barnabas is being a blessing to those people, we can see another way in which he he doesn't make it about himself, because him being there makes an impact and there's people continuing to come to the Lord by grace through faith in Jesus, right? But what does he do next? He goes and he finds Saul in Tarsus and he says, come with me to Antioch. There's a lot of work to be done. So he's not saying, look, I got to be the one to do the work. I got to be the one who gets recognition that all these people are coming to know the Lord. I want to be a part of it. I'm going to stamp my name on it. He says, no, I need help. And so I eagerly bring on someone else, an apostle of God, a fellow co-worker in Christ, because it's not about me and what I can prove that I've done for the church or I've done for the believers, but it's about the purpose, the steadfast purpose. It's for God. So I want you to think about that even this week, even tomorrow as you wake up for work or school or whatever it is. What is your purpose and are you steadfast in it? There's plenty of people with a steadfast purpose for the world. And they're good at getting things in the world and they'll flaunt it, they'll show you, they'll do all the tricks and tips that they want to share about how to be successful and how to be all this and that. But are you steadfast in your purpose through your relationship with God? And this is the first time that we see here in Antioch that the people who are following Jesus are called Christians. And that's kind of a cool thing, right? Because what are we called for those who believe in Jesus? We're called Christians. And so this started way back then. People who bear the name of Christ. I'm going to tell you right now, in those days, the word Christian was not always used in a good way. And maybe even now, sadly. People were actually persecuted if they were a Christian. It used to be that they were followers of the way, but now as they're being called Christians, actually the early church, even though that this was sometimes used in a derogatory way against the church, the early church, they embraced it as a way that yes, even in our persecution, even in things against us, in our steadfast purpose, we know that who we are is marked by who Jesus Christ is in our lives. You know, this morning in Sunday school, you know, different people in the group shared Bible verses that made an impact on them at different points of their lives. And I kind of thought about that. It's like, what an awesome thing that in the midst of difficulty and trial in life, that you can turn to the Word of God and be encouraged. And I believe the Word of God, God has given to us so that we can remain steadfast in purpose. Who here needs reminders of our purpose for the Lord? I do. And God will give that to us readily in His Word. Do we stumble sometimes? Of course. Do we stray sometimes? Of course. Do we fail? Sure. But faithfulness to God in our relationship with Him, it means that in life we always turn back to God whenever we feel ourselves drifting, whenever we have fallen short of His glory, we turn to Him. That is the steadfastness of purpose, but it's also the steadfast love of God that covers over us and our understanding that if we turn back to Him every time, He will receive us. He will never say, Josh, you've messed up too many times this week. Get away from me, I turn you away from me. When I go to God, steadfastness and purpose, God, I need a reminder, I've fallen short, I need you. Then what He will do is He will receive me with His steadfastness. He'll show me His love and His grace. But we need to remain steadfast in our obedience, in our purpose for the Lord. So be in the Word of God. Take time to read the Bible. Take time to set aside and pray to the Lord. Take time to join a fellowship and go to that fellowship and share in life together with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Have devotional times for yourself. Have family times of Scripture and reading the Bible together. We live with steadfastness and purpose. Let's do that as the people of God. Last thing is this, give generously. Now in these days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them named Agabus stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world. This took place in the days of Claudius. So the disciples determined, everyone according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. So clarifying something here, there were those in the church who had the gift of prophecy. They were called, you could call them the New Testament prophets, if you will. But the prophets spoken of here are not like the prophets in the Old Testament in terms of position among God's people. The apostles that had the authority were given that position by Christ himself. And so the New Testament prophets here that are mentioned are those who are part of the body of Christ, but that the Holy Spirit has gifted in ways at times to give a timely word, to build up and encourage the church, and sometimes, as in this case, by the Holy Spirit's work, to give direction, seeing important events of the future. So that's what's happening here. Now, how does that work with giving generously? Is that when Agabus speaks of this famine that's going to happen across the world, we see an immediate response by the believers in Antioch. They actually say, you know what? We hear this news and we believe that it's from God. The New Testament prophet is sharing with us something that is going to happen. And it says, so the disciples determined everyone according to his ability to send relief to brothers living in Judea. They're saying, we're going to give of what we have so that we can serve and give generously to those who are in need. They're being faithful to their God. We are the body of Christ. We learn to support each other. We learn to give generously to one another. And so this really cool thing is happening, that as this ministry work and generous giving from the Antioch church, the believers in Antioch, it establishes a relationship between Jerusalem and Antioch that's going to be much like a base for Paul, the Apostle Paul, and his future missionary work. They're going to do great work for God. God's going to work through Barnabas, the Apostle Paul, powerfully to take this message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. Now, when I think about giving generously, I think of our church. God has gifted our church with many different resources. And he has been very good to us in that aspect, and in every aspect. But our church, we support missionaries. I consider myself as someone who is supported by the church in my call to full-time ministry. And one thing that we have decided to do together as a church recently is, with the war that's going on between Russia and Ukraine, our church and the board and the leadership, we have decided and committed to sending $50,000 in relief through Samaritan's Purse for those who are in Ukraine, that need medical help, that need food, that need shelter. This is giving generously. Not because we have to do it, not because we want to look good in the eyes of others, but because there is a need, and as Christians, as those who are trying to be faithful in our relationship with God, we're making a decision to support and to give in a way where ultimately, as we give of those needs, that they would feel the love of Christ, that they would hear the gospel message of Jesus, and that more than getting clothing or medicine or shelter, what they will receive is the eternal life that is in Christ Jesus. Amen? That is the steadfast purpose with which we live as Christians. And there's going to be opportunity for our church to give more. If God leads your heart, convicts you to give more to this cause, we're going to try to do that so that we can continue to help and support with the ongoing effort of relief through these things. God has given to us. And so how can we not give in the same way that he has given to us, generously to those who we see in need? What a great and good God who gives us purpose, who reminds us that, you know what? His love for us is the steadfastness with which we can be empowered, encouraged to move forward in our lives of faith. I'm going to close by saying this. Faithfulness is not just about the act of doing things regularly for someone else or for something else. I can do all sorts of things for someone, but in my heart be bitter or angry. I can do all sorts of good things for someone, but in my heart, only really want to gain for myself, for my own building up, for my own glory. But faithfulness to God means that you know your purpose in Him, which is to glorify Him, so that everything that you do, you are humbling yourself to know it's not about you, it's not about your life and what you can get out of it, but how you can give and have God be glorified through the things that you do in your life. It's about our relationship with Jesus. So His goodness and grace in our lives, it changes us to share the gospel with others, to be steadfast in our purpose as we live life, to be faithful to God in that way, and to give generously all that God has graciously given to us. And I'm so thankful that our church here, CCC, is filled with generous, gospel-sharing, steadfast people of God. And again, remember that when we fail in our steadfastness, God covers over us with His grace. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 to 23 says this: "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Church, believers of God, let us be faithful in our lives. Let us live lives of faithfulness to God. And may that relationship with Him, as He shows us His steadfast love and grace, may that impact us in a way that we now go out and live out our purpose. Let's pray together. Just take one moment to respond in prayer. Is your life marked with faithfulness to God? This is not a question that I ask to burden you or to condemn you or to judge you or to make you feel bad. It's a question that I hope will turn you to the God with steadfast love. It is a question that I hope will turn you, your eyes to the Lord, who will receive you whenever, in whatever situation you're in, He will receive you if you turn to Him. And what an awesome gospel He has given to us, that you have been saved by grace through faith. And so now the rest of your life with steadfast purpose, will you live it in a way where you're serving and giving generously? Have you been living a life of faithfulness to God? Now, none of us can do it perfectly. Only Jesus could do that. But God wants His people to be faithful. He gives us the Holy Spirit to help us. And when we fail, His grace covers over us. So right now, can you just pray a prayer? God, I want to be faithful to You. Remind me every day so that I can be steadfast in my purpose. I don't know how long I have on this earth. It might be 48 years. It might be 25, it might be 80, but in every year that I know You, Lord, I have a relationship with You. God, empower me in my purpose for You. There's too many people out there that don't know the Lord. There's too many people who still have a spiritual disease called sin that only Jesus can remedy. Be faithful. Ask God to help you to be faithful. He will strengthen you. He will encourage you. Let's take one more minute to pray and then I'll close us. Strengthen Your people, Lord. We need Your strength. We can't do it on our own. On our own effort, we cannot have a steadfastness of purpose. We need the body of Christ. We need the Holy Spirit that You have given to us. So God, work through our church. Work through brothers and sisters in Christ so that we would live for You a life of faithfulness. And thank You, God, that when we falter, when we fail, that Your grace covers over us, that Your mercies are new every morning, and that Your steadfastness will carry us through. Thank You for our church. Thank You for this body of Christ. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let us rise and